And with us now is Dr. Ricky Kelso, who is the owner and the veterinarian at Belle Plaine Animal Hospital, Le Sueur Veterinary Clinic, here in Belle Plaine, Minnesota and Le Sueur, Minnesota. It is a full-service veterinary clinic with laser surgery capability. Dr. Ricky, we are delighted to have you on the show today. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Janet. It's my pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about what your practice is like?
Well, we're a small animal clinic, actually two clinics, and we basically practice veterinary medicine and do normal medicine and surgery and vaccinations and all those sorts of things, but with really a holistic kind of emphasis. And to that end, we do some energy work with animals. We work with essential oils and those sorts of things.
That is just terrific. So if someone is looking for Western medicine, they can certainly come to your clinic. If somebody is looking for the complementary Western-Eastern medicine, that is offered at your clinic also.
Right, right. And, you know, the Western medicine end of things is kind of how I was, you know, raised and initiated into the whole veterinary thing. But I'm finding that really the combination of the two seems to be where I feel I do my best work and probably is most beneficial to the animals and actually to the clients too, because that's really the whole focus is not just making the animal better, but helping the people through their animals.
That's a lovely way to put it too. Now, I was in the other day, had my 14-year-old, I think she's 14, maybe 15-year-old dog in the other day. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of vets in our life, and you are the first vet, I must admit, who pulled a crystal out of her pocket. And
yeah,
I was just like, I was like tickled pink to see that. And I want to tell the listening audience too that you have been doing healing touch with Emmy, and it's really helped her quite a bit. And then when you pulled that crystal out, I'm going, well, man, this is really cool. We need to talk more in depth about this.
Yeah, right. You know, really energy work and healing touch, if you want to call it, or Reiki, you know, really they're all pretty closely related. It kind of has just been in my life, actually, I want to say maybe in the last year, you know, and I've been doing it with animals just in the last 6 months or so. And actually, you and Emmy have been kind of one of my first client and patient that I've worked with. And the crystal, you know, I learned about from my teachers, and it just seemed like it was the right time to use it, so that was kind of fun. That was really a good, you know, quite a positive response from you, I got to say, when you were thought that that was cool and not totally weird.
You know, Dr. Ricky, in the land that I deal with animal communication, I live in the world of woo-woo, you know.
Yeah,
pulling
yeah.
out a crystal is just, it's so perfectly normal in my world, you know. It's like, yay.
Yeah, yeah, well, that was a lot of fun.
Emmy's response to it also is the way she kept backing up into you. It's like, do it here, a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's really the marvelous thing about animals, you know, is that they are you know, really, I don't think they have any preconceived notions about what's good and what's bad. And they're very
right.
sensitive to the whole, I think, the whole feeling of energy and what feels good for them and what doesn't feel good with them, for them. And so part of it is just trying to keep an awareness of what the animal feels and what they're, you know, what they're kind of telling you, backing up into it and being very comfortable and relaxed around the energy work that you do. Says to me that they need it and they need more, and then when they're done, they're done. I mean, you see that with Emmy all the time. You know, when she's done, she goes to the door and looks at the door handle like, okay, time to go now.
Unless she goes to the treats first and then to the
well,
door
right.
handle.
Well, I actually think it's kind of funny because she goes to the door first and then she comes back for her treats and her greeting, you know, and her thanks, Emmy, goodbye, we'll see you later.
You know? It's like, okay, I want to get established, I'm ready to go, and before I go, I need my treat.
Yeah, I need my
really
treat,
good.
That's right, or two or three maybe even.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to suggest or at least have the option open for people to have energy work with their animals, and some people don't want to do it, of course. You know, and others
sure.
others are more accepting of that, and really the animal kind of lets you know just, you know, whether they even want to do it or not. And so crystals aren't always part of that, but sometimes they are. You know, they're kind of magnifiers for the energy, and that does help, especially if you get sticky situations or sticky patches, you know, of energy in the animal.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important for the listening audience to know, too, that all of us, we're like a bundle of energy. There's energy surrounding us. So we're not we're really not talking about woo-woo here. We are talking about what our actual, what is surrounding actual physical bodies, whether they're human or whether they're of a different species.
Right, and you know, physics, actually, quantum physics is kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty and showing just that everything actually is energy. And I would say the way I think about it is the more solid things in our lives, like our bodies and the tables and chairs, are just slower forms of energy that is there anyway. You know, and sunlight and, you know, atomic energy radiation are higher forms, and there's probably, you know, we don't even know all what's out there. But really, I think science is actually starting to show that we really are energetic beings. And, you know, when you actually look at an EKG, that's just a measure of the energy of your heart. You know, how the energy is flowing around your heart.
You can
actually measure. Yeah, and EEGs, which are, you know, electroencephalograms, are also just energy measurements of your brain waves. And so the really interesting thing is, I think that it's more effective, healing is more effective when you're working on all those levels and not just with what we know as the physical. You know, some medication actually works at an energetic level too. It just has oftentimes many more, you know, side effects than some that we know of and some that we don't know of. So
right.
And it's all, and the more you can integrate that, I think the better off everyone is. And I think they're finding that in human medicine too. There's a lot of people, and many, many more people that are doing, you know, Reiki and healing touch and many of these things as kind of complementary to their Western medicine, and getting really good results from it.
You know, that is just so fascinating when you talk about combining the two into your practice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't aware that the EEG and the is it the ECG? EKG.
Right, EKG or ECG, right, yep.
That they were actually reflecting the energy. I don't know what I thought they were reflecting, but I wasn't aware of that. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Right. It's just the electrical current through your heart is what an ECG is, which is just, you know, energy. And it's just so cool when you start thinking about that, and then you start thinking about, well, what if there's, you know, what if there are more layers to that, and how do they affect me? You know, and you can, and if your readers or listeners are interested, there are numerous different books and things, some on the internet. You know, I'm always a little cautious with the internet because you really have to sort of pick and choose what you're looking for there, that really kind of describe these different layers of energy actually that come out from one's body, whether you're an animal or a human. Really a good book that I'm reading right now called Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan, who did a lot of work with this kind of stuff years ago already. And she actually was a physicist with NASA for a while. You know, so that's not just kind of really fuzzy stuff. It's really very, very interesting, and starting to become more and more documented, actually, too, if you want to look at it from a scientific point of view.
Well, and, you know, it's nice to have the blend of those two together, because in the society we live in and in a culture we live in, we need to see it to believe it kind of thing.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And when you're talking about things like energy, it's like, yes, you can see it, but you need to practice to be able to see it. So having that documentation is just really invaluable in the education of people, I would think.
Right. And that's the kind of cool thing about animals, is they really don't really need to see it to believe it. And and if you're paying attention, you can see the results just you know, empirically in your animal. Right. When we talk about Eastern and Western medicine, I mean, that's a really nice thing that you and I have found, too, even with Emmy, is that, you know, as we sit there and do energy work with her, we're talking about, you know, what her symptoms are and how she's, you know, how she's feeling, and, you know, whether she's sleeping through the night, and, you know, what we can do with some Western medicine, actually, to kind of modulate some of that. And I think that goes really well together while we're doing the energy work. It's, you know, it just kind of comes up, and we make little adjustments on the Western side, make adjustments on the Eastern side, if you want to call it that, and really to her benefit.
She's almost like she's 12 years old instead of 14 years old. It's just
great
to see her, you know, act so much younger.
Prancing around and stuff.
Yeah. And I have to chuckle because when we come back, Max, you know, who is the 8-year-old crazy one in the house, Black Lab Mix, he just looks at her like, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
You know, you can move like that.
Right.
So
yeah,
I'm seeing, you know, it through Max's eyes, too, how he's seeing the improvement in her. How did you get interested? Because it's a big leap from Western medicine to Eastern medicine. What was the bridge for you that brought you over to that?
Yeah, you know, that's really a good question. As I kind of think about that, actually started with me in my personal life. I have just kind of happened upon Reiki and energy work. Thinking about the progression of that, I can't even tell you in words how that happened, but all of a sudden it happened that I did have a friend who was doing some energy work with a person on the human side, and then I came upon a Reiki class and thought, oh, yeah, I think I'll take that, and did learn to do Reiki again. This was all on the human side, and found it really very beneficial and interesting for me, and had some Reiki and some energy work done with me, and then this person that I happened to work with actually also offered energy therapy classes with animals. My teacher is a lady who's been doing this probably for, I would say, most of her life. She's probably in her 50s, and has been teaching humans and animal energy medicine too, and so took a couple of her classes and just found that it was just really exciting and actually kind of profound for me on a medical level, on a personal level. And so just thought, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what I felt like for me was the right thing to do.
You know, and I like the way that you say that it felt like that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's a sense of completion there that I hear in your voice as you're talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was after I got done with my first class, actually, I was talking to my husband about it on the phone because I'm actually traveling to Milwaukee to take these. And I said, you know, I think this might be one of the most important things I've ever done. Yeah, it was kind of important.
To me, I find it rather humorous that, you know, those really important things that come up in life, they just kind of sneak up on you sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's a big announcement like, you know, Dr. Ricky or Janet, pay attention to this, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like,
right.
Oh. Yeah, this is important. I'm glad I paid attention to that.
yeah, exactly. You know, and the thing that's kind of very interesting is that my teacher, whose name is Rose, and she has an associate named Polly, so Rose and Polly do a lot of work with humans and the human-animal bond and healing, actually, with humans through animals that I think is really coming to me to be very, very important. And so, and I sort of see that and have always seen that actually in the veterinary end of things, is that animals are oftentimes people's children or
right.
are very, very close to them emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in many cases, animals are healing their owners or vice versa or probably all together. You know, usually it's not just one or the other, it's everything. It's always been my thought that and my feeling, kind of why I got into this, is to be able to help people through their animals. And really, I think that with the energy work too, if one incorporates that and how people and their animals relate and everything, I think it's a much broader sort of healing mission. You know, that's not just for the animals; it's for people,
right.
and probably for me too. I mean, I think it's just all inclusive, and that's
right.
really just very important. And I think may become. Kind of more and more a focus as time goes on, I don't know. Let's
right,
see.
Right. Well, I know that, you know, after Emmy comes back, after we come back from a session with you, I have a sense of relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yes, you know, this is good. Because, well, you
funny.
Know, in May that I thought, you know, I would end up be putting her down.
Yeah,
and
right.
she's just like turned around completely.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
she has her up days and her down days, of course, but, you know,
yeah.
she's
mm-hmm.
14, 15 years old.
Sure.
And
yeah, we're going to have those, too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've got those, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I just see that as you know, people talk about cats especially as being kind of clearers of kind of negative energy for people. And
mm-hmm.
and many people talk about, you know, if you're paying attention, your cat will often come and sit on the spot on you that is causing the problem. And so maybe your listeners might want to just think about that the next time their cat comes and sits with them. Just, you know, where is your cat sitting? And if you think of the chakra system that goes up your body, with one being sort of down in your groin area and seven being in your head, just where your cat happens to be sitting on you. I just think that I've kind of paid attention, a little bit more attention to that, and it seems to be really true for me anyway. And so I think, you know, cats kind of are really healing us by absorbing some of maybe what you might call our more negative energies. And dogs are just a lot of times our companions and teachers and, you know, learning with us how to live this life. Got one
right.
Dog. I'm sure he's here to help me help teach me how to play, because that's all he wants to do. You know? But quit being so serious, you know. Get with the program and have some fun.
Well, and, you know, that's the wonderful thing, is that when you start working on this level, and I mean we pet parents, okay, when we start becoming aware on this level of what's going on with the animals, they are really starting to teach us lessons when we're open to that.
Absolutely, yeah, huge lessons, yeah.
And I'm sure that as a vet, you've had lessons taught to you by animals, too.
All the time, every day, I got to tell you. I am, you know, it's very humbling, which is a good thing, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I learn something, actually, every single day. I mean, a lot of times I can tell you this is what I learned today. And it's not always really, you know, a super hugely profound thing, but sometimes the little things are actually the more important ones anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, they're the ones that help you make that pivot, so to speak.
Right, yeah, and that every day that happens with me, and always, you know, always has, even before I've been kind of open to the more, what you might call, I don't know, mystical or energetic level of things. But, you know, even just on a day-to-day basis, what I learned, you know, practicing veterinary medicine is just, I mean, every day at least something, yeah.
Do you find out that when you're working with the energy of the animals, that what they're doing physically impacts that energy, you know, for instance, the exercise or the nutrition that they have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, I would say all of that kind of, all of those things are really, really important. I think that I make more nutrition recommendations now than I ever did, because I think good nutrition is just really kind of one of the legs that holds the animal up, and exercise, and really also a lot of it is their interaction with their person really affects their health, you know. And in human energy work, they tell you that your issues are in your tissues, you know.
Health,
and I think that's really true also for animals. A lot of times physical things, but also a lot of behavioral issues are really embodied by what is their relationship with their owner, and what are they picking up from their owner. Sometimes they just pick up a lot of things that they need to, then they kind of internalize into illness in their own body or into behavioral issues. Not that I'm trying to blame any owners, but sometimes really, it's kind of an interaction between the two. You're almost treating the pet and the owner at the same time.
Right.
And actually, you know, on an energetic level, that wouldn't be a bad thing. If, you know, eventually or sometime in the future, if people had energy work for them and their pet both together, that wouldn't actually be a bad thing. I think that'd be a great thing.
There you go, Dr. Ricky. There's another service for your clinic.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows? Yeah.
But I think you're right. It's like the animals do mirror what's going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
when we're paying attention to them, then we can use that as a mirror and change our energy.
Yeah.
You know, if we're open to doing that.
Right, and that's a really good point, that they really do mirror a lot of what's going on in us. I've seen, just as a for instance, several in the past couple of months, it's actually been one of these things, like, okay, maybe you need to pay attention to this kind of, you know, thing going on in my mind. Several older animals, I'd have to say, somewhere between like 8 and 12, with just basically what you might call anxiety disorder, kind of, you know, they're anxious, they're panting, they're pacing, and no one really knows why. And interestingly, a lot of it kind of is interaction with the owner again. You know, something went on in the owner's life, like a death in the family or some other kind of anxiety stuff. And people will say to me, well, maybe they're just picking up on my anxiety. And it's like, yeah, maybe they are. You know,
bingo.
You guys need to, yeah, be working together. But, you know, it's kind of the conundrum with that for me is how do you say that to someone and how do you make it so that it's not a judgment? Because it's not a judgment, you know, I don't intend it to be, but sometimes I think people might take it that way or, you know, it might.
Sure.
And so that's all kind of the whole learning process about how do you talk to people about that and you know, suggest practices that might be helpful for everybody.
Sure, sure. You know, it's the learning from the professionals in, but it's also the learning from, you know, the laypersons in. How am I open to listen to this without judging? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just information, nothing more, nothing less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So there's two ends of the spectrum there. That's really interesting. Very interesting, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, in the practice, I'm kind of trying to, you know, pick up on animals' energies all the time when I'm in the office now and in the exam room with animals, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, and, you know, who knows what that is, if it's me or if the animal isn't letting me in or whatever, or whether they are. I mean, many times there's problem areas that that a person can pick up, and the really interesting thing is that many clients already know it. I'll be saying, well, you know, it's really warm over here. Yeah, they'll say, I felt that. Well, you know, they're already feeling what's going on energetically with their animal.
Right.
And they actually can, and then sometimes, like I talked with you about doing some Reiki with your animal or some healing touch with your animal, then, you know, the clients can do that too. There's nothing magic about me doing it. Anytime you're working with energy work like we talked about, it's really your intention that drives it. You know, and so if you're intentionally grounding your animal to sort of ground their energy, which is what I talk to people a lot about with these anxious animals, you know, or if you're finding a warm spot or something and maybe, you know, just working a little bit energetically with that area, people can do that. That doesn't have to be me. You just have to intend to do it and think that you can do it, and it'll happen.
Now, Dr. Ricky, what do you mean by grounding?
Many dogs, and many people too, I mean, I'm guilty of that, are really, really not, I would have to say maybe not so much cats, but a lot of dogs are kind of up in their head, so they're, you know, looking around all the time and, you know, just kind of, I had one client that said, you can see the thought bubbles going on over this dog's head, you know. Oh, that's cool. Oh, no, that's cool. Oh, no, that's cool, you know. And they're just really, and so they want to, and so what they need is grounding. So they need to kind of be connected to the earth and just kind of slow me down, you know, get me down to the real, real earthy kind of stability almost, you know, instead of being up in your head and all over the place, just to kind of slow everything down. Okay, let's come back down to where we're connected to the earth and where the earth, you know, kind of flows in us, and we can just kind of take a deep breath and just, you know, sort of ground ourselves. And so actually you can help people can help their dogs with this kind of hyperness by just grounding themselves. So, and I talk to people about thinking about your feet, you know, growing roots into the earth and taking some deep breaths, and then, you know, have your dog come over and you just kind of stroke them actually from head all the way to the end of their tail and like almost continue on with that right down to the ground, actually physically. And then you just do that kind of slowly and with intention from head all the way down the back, down the tail, down to the ground. And I'm sitting here as we're talking doing this actually up to this imaginary animal in front of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you sort of just ground their energy into the earth, and you'll be amazed at how much calmer they will be in a matter of seconds, actually. Yeah, you know, I've had people say, that's amazing. And it's nothing more than just, you know, just your intention for doing that. And it's so beneficial for the animal. It really helps with, you know, hyper animals, anxious animals, you know, thunderstorm anxiety kind of animals, you know, all those sorts of things. And actually is good practice in general for people, too.
As I'm working with my animals, grounding them, I'm grounding myself because I have to come from a place of being grounded first.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you said that, you know, people find that so amazing that it works in seconds, it's like if you turn that around and you think about it and you watch your anxiety go up and you watch the animal's anxiety go up, you know, it's not that amazing because we see that happening on an everyday thing. We're just turning it around now, consciously being aware of calming down.
Right.
For the benefit of the humans and the animals.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, we're in such close contact with each other that really our energy fields are sort of intermingled anyway, you know. And so when you slow your energy down and ground it, then you're helping your animal to do that. And actually, I think that actually happens probably vice versa with some, you know, you meet sometimes these animals that are just really, you know, really laid back and grounded. Nothing shakes them up, you know. And they're really helping their people, too, with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've talked to Reiki practitioners, well, energy practitioners, and they said that anytime there's any energy work done on a human or an animal, it makes no difference of the species, that energy work is out in the open for anybody to hook onto, so to speak, if they're open to it. And I find that very fascinating. I know that when, you know, I do a little bit of energy work with my horse, or somebody comes out and does it professionally with him, it's amazing to see how the whole barn just, you know, in literally 2 minutes, you know, you've gone from maybe some crazy horses to everybody's just real calm and breathing and, you know, very, very stable.
Yeah, and that's a really very interesting thing. I just have one horse at my house, but when I go to my classes, they have several horses. And a lot of times we work with them, and like if one horse is getting energy work, many times, three or four or five of the other ones will kind of, you know, graze closer and closer and closer, you know, and pretty soon they're all being this big bunch standing around because they're really benefiting from that, and they know it, but, you know, they don't need anybody to tell them to come over here. They just do it.
Right, right. It's almost like a magnet attraction.
Yeah, it is, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Reiki, how do you work with people in educating them about the benefits of the energy work that you do, of the Eastern medication, or the Eastern medicine, excuse me, and of complementing that to the Western medicine?
You know, that's actually been kind of an area I've been exploring, you know, a little bit more and more. I'm thinking that right now, basically, what I do is if I'm feeling like, you know, there's room to do some energy work with an animal, I'll say something like, you know, some people find it beneficial to do energy work with their animals, and, you know, and say that I, you know, this is something that I do and I offer. But really trying to come up with maybe some handouts and some things that I can write down to people, maybe a brochure, you know, so that people can just kind of read about it at their leisure and not feel any pressure from me.
Sure.
But partly it's kind of trying to verbalize it in my own mind and figure out how to talk about it and, you know, and teach about it, because that's the other thing that I find that I do. For instance, with you and Emmy, I mean, we talked about how you can do some energy work with your animal. It's really there's a big kind of teaching component to it. And I'm just trying to find my way with that, because this has been, you know, like it's been a new thing for me, but it's also been really a challenge for me to figure out how I can express that to people, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I'm working on that. That's, you know, that's kind of a work in progress. In fact, when I was on one of my trips with my family recently, I was writing down some notes about, you know, how I can kind of express this better and maybe make it more accessible to people.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just it. It's, I think, for the professionals to learn how to verbalize it and to speak of it in a way that is understandable to people who don't have that vocabulary. So to speak, of energy, you know.
Right. You know, the interesting thing, though, that I find is the more I talk about it, especially if you bring up, you know, a healing touch or Reiki on the human side, the good thing is that many people do already have a reference point with that. If they haven't had it themselves, they've often, you know, they've actually heard about it. And then if I talk to them also about energy work being chiropractic is energy work and massage actually is energy work, then they kind of get it. And you can do little things with, you know, making balls of energy with your hands, and I think we maybe talked about that initially, and you know, showing how you can actually feel it, it's actually there. And then working with essential oils, which actually work have therapeutic oils that have therapeutic and medicinal properties. Thinking about that is working with the energy field, and you know, a lot of people know about essential oils already, which is really great, and it makes everything a little bit easier for them to take in. And many people also kind of want to stay away from drugs. That's the other interesting thing. You know, we're kind of this culture, at least in my mind, that's often driven by, you know, what pill can you take for things.
Mm-hmm.
And just to find that people really would, if they don't have to give a pill, they'd actually rather not.
Right.
But, you know, of course, on the other hand, you get people that all just want a pill for it, you know, give me the pill that'll fix it kind of thing. But I think that's true kind of everywhere.
Dr. Ricky, how can people reach you to find out more about the work you do or to schedule appointments there at your clinic?
We have a website. If you go to lesourvet.com or bellplainvet.com, we've got a website, and it actually has my direct email on the website, so you can certainly email me. You can call us at the clinic, and we've got a couple different phone numbers, but you can call 952-873-8387 for the Belle Plaine Clinic, or 507-665-2377 for the Le Sueur Clinic. Pretty much I'm reachable at either one. I work pretty much 5 days a week, sometimes six, and if I'm not in one office, they'll find me at the other one, especially if it's urgent. But just for kind of general questions, we're happy to answer them. I'm happy to answer my email, which I answer pretty much every day. I can't say that I do on the weekends, but, you know, during the week I do. And I'm happy to talk about that kind of thing in any of these holistic things.
This has just been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for doing this. And, you know, I think it's very important to get the word out to people that, yeah, there are options to Western medicine, and they do work complementary to each other, too, they can work.
Right. This has actually been really enjoyable for me, too, Janet, you know, just to kind of vocalize some of these ideas and have you ask me some questions. It's been really, really good.
Dr. Ricky, it's been a delight having you on the show. Thank you for sharing your expertise.